Heavenly Father, we ask you to open your word to our hearts and to open our hearts to your word in Christ's name. Amen. Would you sit down, please? I can imagine the scene. The boat on the lake. There are one or two people still here, I think, who came on our trip to Israel 20 years ago. And I remember us going out on a boat into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and it was very calm. But on this occasion, the boat has gone out with a rather precious cargo. There are 13 people in it, the 12 apostles, and Jesus. Jesus has spent the day preaching, he's tired, and they let him sit at the back on the cushion, which is rather a nice thought, while they do the rowing. Now, of those 12, you will remember that 4 were fishermen, so they were sort of professional boat people. But when they got in the middle of the lake, a storm arose. Galilee is about 17 miles long and 11 miles wide, so it's a sizable lake. And at one end, there's the Lebanese mountains with a sort of gully through them that the wind can whistle down. And at the other end, there's the River Jordan with a valley going off. So you can get a sort of funnel effect where the wind, if it happens to be in the right direction, hits the lake and creates an instant and violent storm. So they're on the boat in the lake and suddenly there's a storm. And I imagine the A2 were not seasoned sailors, were pretty panicky, and probably the 4 who were seasoned sailors were beginning to get a bit worried. These were flat-bottomed boats. They weren't really very, very good in storms. And there is Jesus asleep at the back. So somebody looks around and thinks, well, this is a bit off. Here we are coping with this terrible storm, and there he is. What is he doing? He's sound asleep. Now, I'm with 3 people who flew from America yesterday in a very delayed flight, and they're a bit jet-lagged. And it's quite hard getting to sleep, even when you're very tired. I think I'd have a job falling asleep in a small boat in the middle of a storm, but it says something for the tranquility of Jesus and his serene personality that he is sound asleep on the cushion at the back. So one of them goes up to him, presumably shakes him. You notice the words as Judith read it. Don't you care? Now notice that. Don't you care? We're sinking. And they woke him up. Jesus' response is very typical. He says, don't you have any faith? Don't you have any faith? Do you really think that God would go to all the trouble of sending his son into the world with a certain task to do and then left him drown on the Sea of Galilee before he'd done it? Don't you have any faith? And then he stood up, presuming the boat's still wobbling about a bit, and told the storm to stop. And in this amazing story, the storm stops. And there was this great calm. Peace, be still. Now that's just one story in the Gospels, one of 2 about a storm on the lake. So I now want to tell you the other one. If you want to read it for yourself when you get home, it's in Mark chapter 6. It's a completely different story. But it is a storm on the lake, or it's trouble on the lake anyway. On this occasion, it's just after the feeding of the 5,000, they are already, Jesus and his friends, on the other side of the lake from Bethsaida, where they were based. They're on the other side of the lake, and at the end of the day's preaching, Jesus says to the disciples, you get in the boat and go home. I want to stay here, and it says that he dismissed the people, did a little bit more preaching, I suppose, and then it says he climbed up the hillside in order to pray. So you have to imagine the disciples in their boat rowing out across the lake, and Jesus up on the hillside praying. It's not actually a storm this time. It's something rather different. This is what the Bible calls it, a contrary wind. a wind in their face, so that they're rowing away, but the boat isn't really moving. And it must have been a very strong wind, which lasted a very long while, because they set off, it says in the Gospel, in the evening, and yet in the early hours of the morning, they still haven't crossed the lake. 17 miles, they haven't done it yet. And so it must have been incredibly frustrating and worrying that they were rowing, but they weren't getting anywhere. And then it says in the Gospel, and Jesus saw them. Now, you have to ask, how could he see them? It's the middle of the night, and he's miles and miles and miles away up a hill. So I don't think he saw them physically. He knew what their plight was. And then it says, Jesus came to them walking on the water. Now, everybody knows this phrase, this astonishing story. And whenever it's read in church, I remember preaching on this a few years ago, and after the gospel reading had been done about Jesus walking on the water, I addressed the congregation and I said, now hands up, all of you who were thinking, well, that was being read, he didn't really, did he? And I said, now come on, I mean, put your hands up. And one by one, brave people put their hands up until virtually the whole congregation had their hands up. Of course they were. We're people of the 21st century. You know, we think, you can't walk on water. It's a physical impossibility. And then I said to them, but actually, when that story was first read to people, the first Christians in the first century, that wasn't the question they'd have been asking. They weren't saying he didn't really, did he? They were saying, what's it mean? What's the point of this story? Well, both those stories, the two stories of the lake, have an amazing message. If you stop worrying about how they happened and start thinking, what do they mean, then they really do speak to us. What's the first one? Well, it's a storm. Storm of life. Storms hit life, don't they? Everything seems to be going along nicely, and then suddenly, what? Somebody we love gets ill. A relationship we treasure breaks down. We get made redundant. We lose our job. Something, you know, awful happens. It's a storm. Life suddenly crashes in round you. And the storm hit that boat on the lake, you know. A storm breaks, a storm rises, it happens suddenly. And there they were, in the boat, with the storm. And Jesus was with them, but he wasn't actually apparently doing anything about it. Ever felt like that? Look at all these things happening in my life. I believe in Jesus. Why isn't he doing anything? You can find loads of Psalms that ask this. Where's God when I need him? Well, he's not asleep on a cushion at the back of the boat, but he appears to be. And so they go and wake him up. Don't you care? Oh, yes, he does. He wasn't going to let anything happen to them. He does care, and at the right moment, he'll intervene. And that's exactly what he did. So there's the story of Jesus with them, but they weren't aware of it. The storm comes, and in the storm, they turn to him, and there's peace. The second story is a bit different. Jesus isn't with them. He's away on the hillside praying for them. They're out on the lake, and what has hit them isn't actually a storm, but it's the other thing that happens in life so often, really. This isn't a storm, it's opposition. It's when things are going wrong, when we can't get anywhere, when we're facing difficulties and disappointment, when life just seems to have stalled. And what happens here? Jesus comes to them. They don't have to go to him. He comes to them. And how does he come to them? This is the whole point of the story. He comes to them walking across the water. Now, what was the water? Well, the water was the problem. The lake was the problem. Making headway on the lake was what it was all about, and Jesus came to them making his own headway, walking across the water. In other words, across the very thing that's worrying us, across the very thing that's making our life stall, against the very thing that's disappointing us, Jesus comes walking. He's not detached from it. Again, he knows. The Jesus who sat on the hillside and knew what had happened to his disciples knows what's happening to you and me, and is not indifferent. That moment he comes to us, walking across the very waves of our fears. And do you notice that at the end of both stories, you will notice when you read it this afternoon anyway, both stories end with the word peace. And peace for Jesus was shalom. It's the usual greeting in Israel. And of course the Arabic world has the similar word, salam. It's the same word, shalom, salam. And it means peace, but it doesn't mean peace as the absence of war. It means peace in a much more positive way. It means peace as being whole, as being at peace with our Creator, at peace with the creation, at peace with the people around us, and almost most cruciously, at peace with ourselves. Shalom is total peace. It's the peace of God that we talk about in the service, the peace of God that passes understanding, an inner tranquility and wholeness that carries us through the storms of life and carries us through the opposition and the difficulties and delays and disappointments of life. Shalom, peace, Jesus said. He said peace, and there was peace. There was peace on the lake, there was peace in the boat, and there was peace in their hearts. Later on in the service, we will be offering one another the peace of Christ. May it today be a very real offering to each other in the name of Him who gives us peace. Shalom, Jesus Himself.